The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, today is January 20th, 2016. We're almost through the first month of the new year, if you can believe it. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. I talked to Dr. Wong today at length. Guy's awesome, man. And he'll be on the 29th, and he'll be on two times in February. Once in March and two in April, and just figure out the math. 1212. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Also, too, we have Stronger Grip. I don't know. Anybody, StrongerGrip.com. If you've been out on Facebook, you've seen the sledgehammer Ryan's built for me. This thing is incredible. It's supposed to be here Friday. I can't wait. Stronger Grip has been making handcrafted strength gear for 10 years. Stronger Grip has made high-quality strength gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and as you've seen, the trophies on ESPN. Grip gear has been featured in Men's Health magazine. Stronger Grip has made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hard-training, strength-seeking athletes like you. I'm going to be doing a lot of videos, so everybody's going to see it. And Ryan will be here on the 26th of this month. I haven't confirmed it 100%, but I do believe we're going to run a contest to win one of those beasts. So stay tuned. So go out to StrongerGrip.com. Hearts Collision. This is for New York State residents only. To get a hold of them, it's 518-477-7937. As everybody knows, I'm training their 14-year-old fit-to-be 15-year-old son, Alex, here on Saturday. He's got three more games, and he's going to learn how to dead-stop squat out of the power rack, man. Can't wait! He's been here 6 months. He came in at 143. He's 6 feet one. He's like a string bean. He's up to 160, man. The kid doesn't have a drop of body fat on him. After we get done with that rack training, he'll be a buck 80, man, by May or June. We're going to put him in his first strongman meet, and away we go. I'm very proud of him, man. He's a great kid. Jason Fulner, planofyourworkouts.com. You can get it through that, through his website, or you can go out to Amazon Prime, and it's only $5, no shipping. I've got one. Very organized, very easy to do. It's 8x6. It lays flat on any surface. And on the 24th workout, there's a section to track progress and set new goals. Give it a try. I'm telling you right now, Jason's a Marine. He's been in martial arts for 23 years, and he's been, as he says, pumping iron for 18. And the greatest thing about him, just like all of our listeners, this guy works out in a shed and he listens to the show. Awesome stuff, man. Next, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's our good friend Steven Santangelo, who's on with us every month. You can contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com or Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Tell them we sent you. Don't forget the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's out on Fiorella Barbell Co. Also, Weight Loss Made Easy. Two ebooks, they're free. Give us your email address. You get no spam, I promise you. Very easy. Commit, take action. I'm not going to say any more. I want to say hi to Alan Roth, who ordered our winner's circle. I want to thank Alan for that. Alan is a gentleman that contacted me months ago that had not trained for over 10 years. And after listening to Motivation Muscle, got him back. Guess what? He's full steam now. That's what we do here, man. That's the whole point. Help people out. So go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. and look at Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. They're life-changing. I stand behind them 100%. You can get a hold of me. You can ask Alan. He had a little problem today. Took care of it right away. He's back in the saddle quick. Also, don't forget about sponsorship. Costs a lot of money to run this show every month. Be part of our millions of listeners. And remember this, $100 this month. I don't care if you do it on the last day of the month. I'll honor it for the whole month of February. After that, it goes up to $500 a month. But remember this, $30 of it goes to MDA. And my brother Jimmy, both FBC and Eminem are dedicated in his memory. Jimmy died of muscular dystrophy, and a common cold is what killed him, too. It went into pneumonia, and they could not save him. So I lost my brother that way. So a flu shot, whether you agree with it or not, this is where the $30 goes. I'm a believer, and when people invest in you, you tell them where their money's going. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. or Motivation Muscle and sign up. Be a partner for 25 years. I guarantee it. When you're in with my family here, this will be the best 25 years of your life. I promise it. Well, today we have a good friend with us again. This is our second show. We got Clint Darden with us today. And the first show we did is probably about a month ago. It downloaded gangbusters. Clint's a very popular guy. I've known of him for a long time, and I've tried to get him on. We had a lot of hit and misses, but I finally got him, and we're glad to have him in our family. Let me give you a little bit about Clint. Strongman, Olympic lifter. He's a trainer, stone lifter. And, of course, where I discovered him first was that crazy stuff with the House of Biceps, man. That stuff was great, man. He'd come on, the whole animated deal. But, you know, the guy could get a message across. You know, his attitude and his personality was something that you did like. At least I did. It made me gravitate to him. I got very interested. And once we got the podcast show going, I said, I got to get this guy on, man, because, I mean, another person like we talk about, authentic, the real deal. And we're going to talk about some good stuff. If you listen to the last show, you know Clint has been dealing with some serious health problems. And we're going to talk about getting back. He's a big stone lifter, and our topic is going to be stone training secrets. And basically, he's starting from ground zero again. Clint, welcome to the show. Give a bio on yourself, any web stuff, whatever, and we'll get fired right into the show, if you would, please.
Oh, man, it's great to be here. Nothing too crazy about where to find me. You can just go to Google and search my name and find pretty much anything that you need to know about me. Just from YouTube, from Elite FTS, House of Biceps on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Everything's either going to be the House of Biceps or Clint Darden. I don't hide anything. No hidden names, no nicknames, nothing.
No aliases, man?
None whatsoever. None, man.
The government's not chasing you down under another name?
Well, now, I have been arrested before, and the arrest warrant was for Clint Eastwood. So that's a story for a different show.
That's awesome. Let's get started. You know me, what I think of stones, and I love it, and I've watched multiple video, and, you know, I would love to, you know, we could talk about this if you want. I'd even love to put some video of you up on FBC, and, you know, if you ever want to do a write-up about it, I mean, because we've got some other, you know, we've got a lot of different listeners, and, you know, if we can get you out there, because it's something basically what you're dealing with. For me, it's an honor to speak to you about this. And I think that what you're dealing with right now is not only very inspiring and very motivational. So let's start talking about stone training secrets. But obviously, why don't you give a little update? I mean, we know we talked a little bit about this on the last show, but you have lifted some monster stuff. Now, let's go to where we are today and why you are where you are, and let's start right from the beginning, if you don't mind.
Well, how far back do you want to go?
Well, let's go back where, obviously, you're dealing with some health problems. So, you know, you've taken the bull by the horn, and obviously you told me a little while ago things you feel you're turning the corner, which I couldn't be happier. But obviously some of your lifting has suffered through it, and you've kept going, which is incredible. Just give everybody a little breakdown where you are today. You're back at the stones, and you're building to. Let's talk about where you're going goal wise. Be all right?
Yeah, I think probably the last time we talked, I was having difficulties with my 165-pound Atlas stone. That's the lightest one that I have. And that was, I mean, I could load my 165, my 190. I think that was about it. I was a little afraid to attempt the 230, which is my next stone that I have. Even right. picking it up, I was getting severe cramps through my bicep, through my lats, and everywhere. And it's, you know, just one of those scary things that, you know, you can feel things kind of pulling and ripping and tearing. So, you know, I've had to completely step back because my goal is just to lift stones. You know, I want to lift heavy stones at a, on a world-class level. You know, and I want to deadlift big too. Those are the two things that I don't want to have taken from me as far as the gym. I want to deadlift big and I want to lift big stones. Everything else really that I do in the gym is based around building those two things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've had to take a bunch of steps back, and every single training session I focused on the accessory lifts. You know, getting my triceps and lats involved in the similar movement, because I don't think people realize how involved the lats and the triceps are in picking up a stone off the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, they connect under your armpit, and I didn't realize that until I tore it. And then it's like, well, there is a muscle there. But biceps, rear delts, upper back, lats, triceps, shoulders, rotator cuffs. So everything that I've done in the gym has been kind of based around building up the volume on that, slowly building up the strength on that. And I've tried to be as smart as I possibly could on my stone training, being very casual, very conservative, methodical on everything. Even when I feel good, if I wrote it down on the plan that I'm only going to do this stone today, that's all I do. I call it a day. I go back in the gym and I start working on the accessories, the rehab, the prehab. I do nonstop therapy work every night when I'm sitting here at my computer working. I keep an e-stim machine on me at all times. I do acupuncture, stretching. I do lats, rotators. I've got a TRX that I hook to the door here that I just use for band pulls or rear delt pulls and rows and stretching, just nonstop work. I'm trying to build up just that endurance in every single muscle to be able to work all the time every day. Because I went for so long where I just walked out, grabbed a stone, lifted it.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was strong enough and healthy enough to do that. And I'm not anymore. All the connective muscles, the small muscles, they're not there. So I've had to go back and rebuild those. So, but, you know, I've talked to you almost every week for about the last month about what my plans were on Sunday, my stone lifting day. And I try to be very calm and conservative in our conversations because I know if I get to talking to you, I'm going to get riled up and do something stupid on Sunday. So I do write everything down. It's like a contract with myself. This is what I'm going to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And I've just, you know, I'll load a PR stone, and the next week I'm going to back down to some lighter stones, get some reps, work on some work off the floor, load it to a higher platform, and then after 3 or 4 weeks, I go up to the next stone. So, you know, I'm kind of on a roll. I've done my 160, 185, 190, 230, 245, 265, 285, wow. And Sunday I loaded my 310 to 57 inches.
Holy cow, dude. Congrats. And, that's awesome.
Well, you know, I celebrated, I yelled and screamed after it was done, but the first time I ever touched a stone, I loaded a 300-pound stone as a fourth stone in a contest.
That's awesome.
You know, here I am, you know, 15 years later celebrating a 310 stone. You know, it's great, but I, you know, I've had to go back and relearn how to do stones because, you know, all of my strength was just zapped.
Yep.
So I've had to go back and really sit down with pen and paper and think, what muscles have to get stronger? What does my prehab have to look like? You know?
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Clint, do you do combos like say, lats and triceps? Would that ever be anything in a power rack, say like a floor press dead stop off anything? Or are you doing, singular, you know, working the lats by themselves, you know, bent rows, et cetera, one arm rows. How are you doing this? I mean, I know you're saying you're constantly working with bands and stuff, But is there anything that, you know, like I just said, with like a combo? What how are you kind of arranging this stuff for everybody who's, you know, been in the same predicament, so to speak?
Well, I've got a one small room gym, so you know, I've got a pulley system, which is really cool to use.
Okay. Okay.
But you know, I know that I can't. You know, I know that my triceps don't just function in an extension kind of way. I know my lats don't. You know, you can't do any kind of pull down on a cable machine, and it really simulate lifting a stone. So
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I do every, like on Sunday, I will go in the gym, and you know, after I finished all my strongman training, I will do floor presses with dumbbells, and I will do a dead stop with my elbows on the floor. And I'll do generally high reps. It fries my triceps. It also saves my shoulders. It brings up my press. It brings up everything. I learned to tuck my lats. I also do sets of dumbbell rows.
Yep.
As whatever kind of rotator cuff work I can do with bands.
Bands, yep.
And then I do some glute ham raises and abs, and that's usually on Sunday. Wednesday, I use the heck out of my cable pulley machine, and I do I do my triceps, but I try to get – it would be kind of like a cheat triceps on the cable pulley down. I extend my elbows up so my lats kind of get a small little – you know, almost like a pullover into a tricep extension. And I've learned that that helps me because my triceps have continued to cramp whenever I'm pulling a stone off the ground or whenever I'm loading to a high platform because the tricep connects through the teres major up under the armpit. I'm getting the same thing when I deadlift. I'm getting tricep and lat cramps and spasms. So the more that I work the lat and the tricep together in one movement, the more everything's starting to connect. Because I'm a firm believer that if you train the biceps only to contract, that whenever you go to do a full body movement like an Atlas stone or any kind of stone or a tire flip, that bicep has some kind of little memory chip in it that says, okay, we are supposed to lift like this. We lift as a singular muscle instead of a conjunction, you know, a big full system of muscles. And I think that's when you tear a bicep. That's when you tear a hamstring on a deadlift, whenever the hamstring tries to lift all the weight instead of the hamstring trying to lift it in conjunction with the glutes, the back, the abs, and everything else.
Yep.
So, I try to get the triceps and the lats working together. I try to get them, you know, almost like to learn to work together, you know, as a singular unit. Anyway,
well, it makes sense, yeah.
And on Fridays, I go back and do lats. I do barbell rows.
Yep.
And whatever kind of tricep – a different kind of tricep variation. Again, I love the dumbbell floor presses just because it's difficult for me to set up any kind of axle floor presses in my gym. But, I try to have some kind of variation every single training session.
Let me ask you this. You know, we know way back in the day, the pullover was always a big thing, you know?
Yeah.
And we know how hard that hits the lats, and we know the shoulder girdle, and you got to be very careful. I've always done them, and I stay away from now because of this shoulder problem I've had on and off. I used to do straight arm pullovers. I wouldn't go over 15 pounds even because it's not a movement that you want to be going heavy with because that's when you can have problems with shoulders, pec insertions, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on you know, and I've used, and that might have messed me up a little bit too because everybody used to say that, but I always thought I did it correctly. I never had a problem. I have out in my garage, and this is probably a no-no to hear to a lot of people, I have a couple of the old, first-generation Nautilus machines.
Wow.
I have, and I'll tell you why I got them, folks, because I still think that they are very hardcore, and they aren't the machines that you see today. Most people couldn't even use these things. They're so brutal. They're all on big biker chains, like on a motorcycle. I have an original pullover.
The kind with the hand support and the elbow support?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, that's key. Now, see, if you get your arms locked into that thing with your hands on the bar and your elbows on the elbow support, that is the exact same body position that you will be at the very top of an Atlas stone load.
Well,
if
you were here,
it's the exact same position.
Same
I learned that when there was a local gym that used to be within walking distance, and I used to go there on my off days and just use their pullover machine because it helped me load stones to a higher platform. Now, with the pullover, you're pulling down, and with the stone, you're lifting up, but it doesn't matter. The lats are contracting the exact same way.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. I thought it helped me tremendously to not only just to pick it up, but whenever I had to extend up, even with a Husafell stone, to get it on my chest and to get it set right so you can walk that distance,
that's a great
piece of equipment.
I would love to try it again, but I don't know. Maybe you could tell me. I am a little nervous with that shoulder right now to sit in there. All right, but, you know, I remember an old lifter telling me, and you don't have to go nuts. I mean, I could put – it's plate-loaded, so I could put – take any Olympic plate off I want or on. I mean, I could put 10 pounds of Olympic on there, right? I remember an old lifter from the YMCA days when we were little kids and we used to go there. He used to tell me at times, sometimes you got to go back if you think that's the scene of the crime and try it. Because sometimes, for some reason, it seems to work. And I've been looking at that thing and looking at that thing for like the last month to say, do you want to get on that thing and try it and just see what happens with something light? And maybe I will. I don't know at this point. I'm not usually timid about anything. But, man, oh, man, this was where the bicep tear was. And, I mean, you've had a bicep tear, right?
Yep, I have.
I mean, did you have surgery on it?
Did not.
And it doesn't bother you at all?
Hurts like crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, but mine was under the shoulder, not at, not at the elbow joint. So they tend not to favor surgery if it's under the shoulder.
Yeah, well they I had this done, but they were they didn't really want to do it because they didn't lose that much strength, and the big factor about it was when they have to drill through your elbow and come back, it was like a loop the way he described it. They always got to give you the bad stuff, and they're like, you know, there's a lot of nerves in there. If we nick a nerve, you lose your arm.
Right.
That scares the shit out of you, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I've been very lucky. But to make a long story short, I don't know. I might try it again.
You know, I get clients all the time that'll just send me an urgent email and say, "Hey, I hurt my shoulder today. I just woke up and it's hurting. I can't move my arm." Yep. Went to the doctor. The doctor said to rest for 2 weeks. Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, the first thing I do when my shoulder hurts, I walk over to a door and I get as close as I can, and I take my fingers and just like a spider crawl up the side of the door until I can get to the door handle. I just hold on to the door handle for a second, and then I step away about a half inch and just let that shoulder relax, and then I just step away a little bit more and a little more. I just want to get some kind of movement in that shoulder. I do the same thing on the stairs. I'll stand like at the top of the stairway, and I'll just hold on to the rail with, you know, that shoulder that hurts, and I'll just take a step back, and I'll sit there, and I'll say bad things, and then I'll take another step back. But, you know, I can't figure out how somebody – hurts a muscle and the doctor says you need, you know, a month of rest. My wife had a C-section. They got her up the next morning first thing and said, "You're going to walk." You know, my dad had two total knee replacements. The next morning at 8 o'clock, they said, "Mr. Darden, we need you to stand up. You're going to walk to the end of the hall and back." Took out a knee and replaced it. And the next morning, they say, "You're going to get up and walk." So if they're going to replace a knee or cut a child out of a woman's stomach, and the next morning you're going to go for a walk, why, for a sore shoulder, do I need to take 2 weeks rest?
No.
So
there's
nothing wrong with, you know, getting in the machine and just taking your hand and slowly walking up the side until you get into place and see if you can move it with your good arm and then let it go back with the negative with your bad arm. You know, because, you know, the people used to always ask me, "Well, what muscle does that pullover machine work?" You know, I don't know, but I can tell you that my body goes in that direction. So if your body will go in that way, then adding resistance to it will build muscle somewhere. Now, whether or not you use a lot of weight is up to you, just like a leg extension. People say a leg extension machine tears up knees. Well, it probably does if you use a ton of weight. You know, but you don't have to use a ton of weight. You can use a little and just put that knee through a big, you know, a lot of reps, a lot of range of motion. Use it for therapy.
Well, I'll tell you what, that pullover machine, when you get out of that, you look like you could fly away. Your lats look like they're connected from, you know, like you said, right at the top of the armpit, so to speak, into the tri. But it just feels like it goes to the bottom of your rib cage. It's huge. And a lot of people don't know this. I mean, it works your upper back like a maniac, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, and you need all that for stone lifting. And another thing I learned with this thing is, you know, everybody's always core. I don't say that. I say midsection. You want a real tip with that, if you don't know, you take that thing, hold it halfway, and do it. It's almost like an isometric hold with it.
Right.
That will work your abdominal area like nothing you've ever done before. And I learned that years ago reading about it. And I'll tell you, I know this will veer off just a tad, but you're going to love this. I have that. I have the original four-way Nautilus neck machine.
Wow.
I have the original Nautilus pressing machine, which has got the handles behind you, and then you can do the side, what do they call that? You know, you grab the sides and pull them out to flies.
Side,
it's like
lateral raises?
Yep. I got that one, and I've got, this is my favorite one, but I won't do it because of the bicep. I haven't touched it in about 4 years now, but I would really like to. I have, because it wasn't my era, of course, but I always loved watching Dick Butkus of the Bears crush people. And I went out, and I've got every old Perry Raider Iron Man I could find. I got them all from Bill Hinburn, and it's very hard now to get anything left. And I used to always love to read those ads. I thought they were so cool. Like, you know, for like Rio Blair with protein and liver tablets and Grand and all that stuff, right? I still like going through there. It's like a little kid, man. And they always had Nautilus stuff in there. And they had a picture of Dick Butkus using the Nautilus trap machine.
Wow.
Have you ever seen one of those? The old school?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that one.
Okay. All right. Well, this is one where you sit down on it. It's got, you know, the stack. So, you know, obviously you put your pin in it. And basically there's two pads. You have an upper pad and a lower pad. And you stick your arms straight. So your arms are they're going underneath between both pads. And you shrug this thing, man. And it, not only is it super rare, this thing will put traps on you. You'll look like a friggin' elephant, man. And, unfortunately, you know, it does pull on the bicep, and I haven't done much with it. I don't know if I'm going to give it a try, or I'm probably going to sell it, because if I can't use it for what I want, there's no point in injuring myself. So I just found a guy that had them. The ones that I read about that I liked, I think they're killer. I would like to try the pullover again. Who knows what that would do, and I probably will. I'm going out. I was going to go out tonight, but I have to go out tomorrow night to hit. So
I would cover any area of your body that hurts with the hottest cream that you can possibly find.
Yep.
Wear a couple of extra shirts. Just, you know, start small and go through the range of motion. You know, I used to do pullovers and a lot of stuff because I was competing. So everything was about me getting better at competitions.
Yep.
The first time we had to load like an Atlas Stone for reps, you know, you're getting like 8 to 10 reps or 12 or something like that. And you just, you know, that hurts your entire body, you know, muscles that, you know, you've never, even if, you know, like carrying a Husafell stone for distance, that hurts a certain set of muscles that nothing else ever hits. So, you know, I began looking at, you know, if I'm going to load stones for 75 seconds, then I'm going to do pullovers for 75 seconds. I'm just going to pick a light weight. And even if you choose too light of a weight, you're going to get a ton of reps and you're going to be setting on fire. You know, if you pick too heavy of a weight, just be cautious and do rest pause. You know, if you realize you're only going to get 7 or 8 reps, just like an Atlas stone, get one, take a breath.
Yep.
You know, get another one, take a breath. But try those 75, 90, and 120 second, you know, time sets, man, those are absolute killers. And it's a great way to work that muscle, you know, without having to stress it with heavy weight.
Well, and not only that, you know, I've got two besides the Nautilus. I've got a really nice pullover bench too.
Oh man.
Atlantis made them years ago. I don't know if they do. It's a real heavy, heavy-duty bench, and it'll hold my body weight. It could hold an elephant probably sitting on my belly, you know, and not break. So you know what I mean? I want to ask you this, Clint, before we get into the other stuff too. I mean, you're a real stone guy, Atlas and everything else. Obviously, we all know Brian Shaw won World's Strongest Man this year.
Right.
But I'm sure you're in tune with everything. It doesn't have to be even today's athlete. Who do you feel is one of the best stone lifters in that genre that, you know, either is still competing or of the past?
Man. You know, it's hard to take away what Brian Shaw has done, you know, with stones. I think he's loaded a 553 or something like that.
Yep.
Maybe in competition somewhere around, you know, the 555 range. It seems like every 5 years there became a new king of stones.
You know who I thought was really good until he got the bicep tears was Derek Poundstone.
Derek's amazing at everything. There's nothing that, you know, there's nothing that you can say about him that isn't amazing. And, you know, he won, he's done what he's done at World's Strongest Man, a podium finisher, you know, won the Arnolds repeatedly. He really has very few weaknesses. He's not the best at stones, but he's not the tallest either.
No, right.
He's 6 foot, something like that.
Dave
Osland at one time was one of the best at Atlas Stones.
Yep.
And when I turned pro, I beat Dave, and I'll say this over and over again. I beat Dave by 14 points whenever I turned pro, and he was like 6'6", 260 pounds. I mean, he looked like a skinny little kid. And, of course, he went on to be like 385, something like that. But my training partner at the time used to spend all of his summertime interning for Ford in Michigan. So his summertime training partner was David Osland. Now, Dave trained stones in a boiler room in a factory, a basement boiler room in a factory. So he was down there loading stones, and he said they were just sweaty. And you were sweaty and humid. And then, of course, whenever Dave went to compete, he could load anything. But, you know, I loved those days with Dave Osland, with Travis Ortmeier. There used to be a big feud, you know, going all the way with Jesse Marundi, Travis Ortmeier, and Dave Osland between the three of them. And that's been 10, 12 years ago. But it's
Ahola was a pretty nasty stone lifter, man.
He could do anything as well. Also a great deadlifter, by the way.
Yeah, And you know what the funniest thing?
All of those guys are amazing deadlifters and stone loaders, every single one of them.
But you know what the funniest thing is? It's just so distorted because we got in this talk the other day a little bit. You know, I love to hear him say he was only 275, and I'm like, I don't care what you say. 275 pounds is big, man. I don't care. And look, he used to whip ass on guys that were well in their threes, and we got into the thing.
He's also only about 5'10".
Ripped
at 275.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Do you remember that old shot of him on Milo? The spinal erectors on him were like none other, man. I don't care. You could put your fist between the middle of his back and lose it.
His training methods were for that time were so far advanced over everybody else's. He had every single implement, and you know, people like him and Sven Carlson revolutionized strongman training, especially for America. They brought the European method of strongman training over to America with the idea of, hey, let's not be powerlifters through the week and strongmen on Saturday.
Right.
Let's be strongmen every day. Let's go out and do a deadlift followed by, you know, two strongmen events, you know, or let's do two strongmen events followed by deadlifts. You know, everything they did was, you know, today is Atlas Stones and log press. You know, tomorrow is farmer's walk and sled drag. You know, the next day is this and that. They trained like strongmen. You know, not like powerlifters who played strongman on the weekend. You know, they trained like full-time strongmen. Like, you know, that was what they – like it was a sport. Like it was a skill. He was absolutely so far advanced over everybody else. And the guy was deadlifting 800 for three.
Yeah.
With a pair of straps. I mean, you know, he wasn't wearing a suit or, you know, anything else. But, you know,
but remember,
absolutely phenomenal.
But remember, he was only 275,
only,
right?
Only. Yeah, Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
Well, you know what I say? You know, we got into that with Kaz and all that, too, the other day. And here's my idea on this. They can say whatever they want about today's athlete, but I still think mentally those guys were tougher. I could be wrong. But I think that they could adapt to today's world. I believe Kazmaier could for sure.
I'll tell you a story that nobody else knows.
Okay.
And I don't think I've repeated this. Me and my father went to America's Strongest Man 2002, I believe it was. It was for the pros to see who was going to go to Worlds. It was in St. Louis. It was in August. It was like 112 or so outside on the blacktop where the athletes were competing in the middle of the day. And they were all just, you know, dying. And Worlds is going to be in like Kuala Lumpur, I think. So it was going to be like 15 to 20 degrees hotter and more humid there than it was in St. Louis. And the top five guys at this contest were going to go to Worlds. So they're all just, you know, they're doing it. And I'm just amazed, you know, watching all these guys, because the next year I plan to be there with them. So I'm watching all these athletes and they're finishing every single event and they're just complaining. Just, oh my gosh, it's hot. Oh, this is terrible. I can't believe this. What, they should have had it inside where there was air conditioning. Jesse Morundi finished an event and took off and ran over and jumped into the bucket full of ice where they were keeping the drinks, you know, and I remember that just, you know, like it was yesterday. And they were just complaining nonstop, and Kaz was the announcer. He put down the mic, and he walked over to them, and he said, "Guys, you are competing for a shot to represent the United States of America at World's Strongest Man. However bad you think the situation is right here, right now, today, it's going to be much worse if you make it to World's Strongest Man. So you decide today, right now, if you want to go to World's Strongest Man, or turn around and go back to your hotel room." And every single one of those guys, I mean, Phil Pfister, Jesse Morundi, Steve Kieran, all those guys, and not saying, you know, Gillingham was there, not saying anything negative about them, but all of the greats were right there, and it was like everyone's mentality stopped. Johnny Perry was there, and it just, you know, their whole attitude changed. And they never said another word about the conditions, how hot it was. But you know, he's got a way of just grabbing. Carl Gillingham's got the same way of just grabbing your attention and saying things like it is, because they, you know, Kaz really is not the kind of guy that says very much at all. He is a quiet guy, but when he does speak, you better listen. He does have a way to get attention. And you can't take anything away from the guy. The guy was the best of his time in how many sports? You know, you're looking at, you know, the field sports, strongman, powerlifting.
Powerlifting, all that,
I mean, he used to see, you know, they did that stupid judo wrestling stuff at World's Strongest Man. Nobody wanted to face him. The NFL football players lost to him. What do you say?
Well, you know something, and some people can command attention and respect, and he's got that. No one was going to give him any crap, man. You know, for as big as those guys were, they weren't going to screw with him at all. You know, that it's funny because obviously, you know, the whole mental game with everything, it's like, man, if you're telling yourself it's hot, just look at the amount of just brain zapping you're doing right there. I mean, how do you get yourself up for a lift when all you're thinking about is how hot it is? You know you're going down. You know what I want to ask you, too? Because we lost Johnny Perry, obviously. I had read that basically his heart blew out. He looked like one big-ass dude, was he?
He was he didn't look real. I mean, it was just
– Really?
He was one of the first people that when I met him – you realize that there is a different size human being in this world. And he was just two sizes larger of a human being than I am. You know, because, you know, I'm a big guy.
You are.
I wear a size 16 shoe. I've got giant hands. you know, and you know, everybody sees me and says, "Wow, you're huge." And then you see another level guy, you know, a guy who's 6'4", and 320, and then you see Johnny, who was 6'6", 375.
Yeah,
you know, and
big farm boy.
He was, and he could move.
Yep.
You know, he wasn't a fat guy. The guy could get out there and move, and he could win farmers and yoke.
Yep.
But he was, man, he was just the nicest guy. So he, you know, reached out, made it a point, even online, to help people that he didn't know. He didn't keep secrets about anything in his life. Where everybody else was hushed, hush, he was like, look, this is the truth. You know, he was a hardworking guy. He was a great athlete. You know, there was always two or three, you know, strong men that were arguing with each other, that were arguing with him, and he was the first one that no matter what he had against you, you would see him yelling for you at the competition.
Absolutely.
You know, he would finish before I mean, and it's like that with almost everybody. But, you know, if he finished, I would see him finish before guys and turn right around and get the other guy's face. You finish this. Keep going. Don't you quit.
Absolutely.
He was just that kind of guy. And it, him and Brian Schoenfeld had a beef back and forth with each other.
Yep.
And I've got it on video. Brian Schoenfeld was a terrible deadlifter, absolutely terrible deadlifter. And him hitching a partial deadlift at Nationals that same year, 2002, was the first hitched deadlift at American Strongman. And it was ugly. the crowd, you can hear everybody in the crowd say, oh, my gosh, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And he made the lift. And the very first person to congratulate him coming across the stage was Johnny Perry.
Yeah, that's
class,
man.
And those two had a serious beef again, and that killed the beef. That was it.
Yeah.
Those guys were good. I mean, he made the deadlift, and it was one of the lowest deadlifts out of every pro there.
Wow.
But for him, it was a
wow.
PR, and Johnny Perry was celebrating like he had just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, there's some guys that can do that. You know, that's important. All right, so we're starting from zero. Obviously, what is the goal we're going to get to with those big Atlas stones you got in your yard there?
Well, I've loaded my 310. So the first thing I've got to do is right now I've got to back off and be intelligent. I've got to spend probably the next month or so playing with reps and carrying from a distance, practicing my pickups. Which is where things go wrong. I practice my loading to tall platforms.
Yep.
I need to give myself at least 6 months before I take my next. I've got a 345 and a 365. So I need to give myself at least 6 months before I take a shot at the 365. So that's my goal this year. And I know I'm going to probably have another injury or another setback or something happened in 2016.
Yep.
So that's my goal this year is to load that 365.
That's sick, man.
I haven't not been able to load it for 10 years. So it's really hard. I've loaded it to 61 inches without tacky before, and it's just a huge, ugly stone. So for me now to say this year I'm going to train to do it again, It tastes bad. It hurts to say, but you know that's where I'm at, and that's where I've got to go. I've been working on this for a while, and I'm going to go ahead and say it first on your show. My goal is that I'm going to be so great at stones again. I'm going to be such a comeback story at stones that Steve Slater, and you can tell him this, Steve Slater is going to sponsor me, and he is going to send me two stone molds, two Cypress. That are bigger than the 365 that I have. Something that's above 365, probably in the 385 range, and something that's above 400 for me to take a shot at. So I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be so good and such a story that Steve Slater himself is going to sponsor me, and he's going to send me two more molds to make two bigger stones than what I already have.
Well, when I get this show up, and I'll make sure I send him a FB on this, and because he listens to these shows like crazy, even in his shop, he told me, I'll make sure to tell him to especially listen to this show. Where let's see, we're about 42 minutes into this, and I'll say, Clint has a message for you that you need to listen to. I'm sure he'll help you out, man.
You know, I would not call out Steve if I didn't have the utmost respect for him. He and I go way, way back. And it, you know, anything Steve does, I can guarantee you, if he puts his name on it, it's amazing. It's not just good.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yep.
And I think the world of him personally.
Yep.
So I'm going to be good enough to where he has no other choice, but he has to sponsor me. Not help me. He's going to put his name on it, and he's going to say, this is yours, and I'm going to work for it. I'm going to earn it. So
I'll tell you that. I'll tell you what. Maybe if we can set it up where we can both do it, at that point when you nail this thing, maybe we can get a three-way conversation on the show. So that way it'd be the three of us, which would be a lot of fun, because I think that's great you're doing that, though. I mean, you know, you just dropped the hammer on him, and now right on the show you've made a prediction. So I'm sure it'll happen. What is it, I don't know, weather-wise, when you start getting in the fall and winter in Cyprus, what are we talking about weather? Because, you know, I'm thinking here in the Northeast, now finally we're at 10 degrees where we should be. It's been windy as hell. We've had, you know, moderate snowflakes, and they're talking possibly a big storm this weekend. So where are we at? Say at that point you're ready to throttle your 400-plus stone. Where are you? What is it like there? And I know you'd go out in the snow anyways, but what are we looking at that point?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here right now. It's the end of January, and I can – you know, today in the shade, it's probably 60 degrees outside.
Wow.
I can see snow in the mountains from my front porch, and then I can see the sea from my back porch. So in the sun, it's probably 90. In the shade, it's probably 60. At night, it'll be, I think, like 40 or 42 tonight. So even though that sounds warm to you, this is still our winter.
Really?
So to us, I mean, I'm sitting inside now wearing layers of clothes. We've got the heat on, fireplace.
Yep.
So, you know, for you, you would be sweating. For me, this is cold. But in the in the summertime, it'll be above 160 in the sun. we will go at least 6 months without a cloud. So starting in May, it will stop raining in May, and there'll be chance of casual showers in October. So from, you know, April to October, you won't see a cloud, nothing. So
beautiful.
It's just ridiculously hot. Tacky will not stick to stones. It's just a lost cause.
I was going to say that.
So right now I'm outside. I'm wearing long sleeve clothes to try to stay warm in this 60 degree weather. But I've got, you know, I hate wearing them, but they're saving my biceps and allowing me to train. I'm wearing stone sleeves now. I swore I would never wear them again, but I can't get a cut because I just won't heal, and everything gets infected really quickly. So the stone sleeves, they're just a must. I'm having to accept it, but I'm able to load stones in a long sleeve t-shirt. I'm loving the weather. You know, I can't ask for anything better. So, I'm going to load stones no matter what. In the summertime, I'm going to have issues with the heavier stones. But, you know, that's just, you know, I'm going to have to look at 4 to 6 weeks of the hottest part of the year, where I'm either going to have to load stones as the sun's going down, or I'm just going to have to say, well, we're going to do lighter stones for reps. We're going to carry for distance and load. We're going to load to high platforms. We're not going to focus on max weight. And then once the temperature starts dropping again, in October, I can start increasing the weight a little bit and start pushing for the heavier stones.
And that would be great. Here, obviously, you know how it is. New York, who knows? We've had a real strange winter here. The one luxury I've had, I've been able to carry, and that's great, and not have to have heat on out there. Tomorrow night, it's going to be cold, and I'll have to decide what I'm going to do. Tomorrow night's going to be kind of like a tune-up for Sunday, like you had talked about, you know, a little bit lighter, obviously, maybe a little bit more blood volume going, and it's going to be very short. I'll have the egg timer on. I got a half hour out there. That's it, because Sunday is going to be brutalizing.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. When you start, you know, and I haven't decided yet either with the barrels. I don't know if I'm going to go with a 2-inch or I'm going to labor down to the S-cube Iron Mine Bar. I'm not sure. We'll see. Tomorrow night I'll be doing Thick Bar again. We'll see what the recovery is. I'll tell you one thing, Clint. One of the reasons why I did this, and I was going to hit this, and I forgot all about it, was with all the stone work and everything I'm doing, you know, I really don't need to be bashing my body and trying to make, you know, pull records with everything. And the reason why I did this, and I've kind of had arguments with people about this a little bit, you know, they're all like, because it's ego. They're all like, well, you know, you're going to have to drop your weights down. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, why do you want to do that when you want to lift everything you possibly can to go away? And I said, well, this is what, it's twofold for me. First off, I think thick bars are very, very beneficial for two reasons. And this is why I'm doing it for the first reason. I want my grip to dictate what I can do on any given night. And it's a protection mechanism, as you talked about. You're dealing with some different stuff, but with the elbow guards and the long sleeves, because you don't want to get a cut and get an infection. Well, I'm looking at it this way. I want to minimize any injuries, but I think the best thing out of this whole deal is you're never going to get ligament, tendon, and muscle belly size like you would off a one-inch bar. Now, you can argue the fact with me, well, you're using more weight. Yeah, but I think that I want to do it for that twofold thing. Now, I'm either going to live or die by the sword on the second thing, but I know for damn sure I know what it does to ligaments and tendons, especially if I start getting in the rack and I start, you know, doing isometric pushes and shit like that. But the thing is, the amount of stimulation I'm getting off that stone between pulling it out of the rack at any height and walking it, what the hell out there really is going to give you that type of stimulation like right. that? So. What do you think about that? Does that make sense to you, or what?
You know, I think you got to stick with the thick bars. How many years have you been training?
Oh, 24.
Okay, I'm guessing you don't have skinny, little, soft, girlish hands.
No, my I'll tell you something funny before we go back. You're gonna love this. But right now, my hands are popping. I got news for you. Like, I mean, big time. Let me put it this way: the webbing in my hands between the thumb and the first finger there, it still hurts. Okay, because of using the extent of the bars I'm using. But here's the big thing. Now, where was I going with this? What did you say before? I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I was going to say that you don't have little girlish hands.
No, not – and that's the thing. And, you know, this is what I'm trying to convey here is what I feel that – this has got me really jacked. And here's another thing that we can hit quickly. You know, when Bill Crawford is on here, like, or Bill Hinburn or any of these guys, Bill had a very interesting story. And just bear with me on this. A guy – I don't know if it was in his church or what. I don't remember how it was, or he met him through one of the events, was quite an accomplished power lifter. And we're talking a guy that's deadlifted well over 650, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, big 300-pounder, et cetera, et cetera. So he asked Bill one time, can I come over and train with you, do some stone? Okay? So he comes over, and I think it was only like a 250 or 300-pound stone, and, you know, Bill crushed it. So the other guy walks up to it, can't move it.
Yep.
He cannot lift this stone, and he tries, and he's cut, he's bleeding, and the whole thing, you know, he doesn't know how to straddle it properly. But the defining moment and the defining factor with him is this, and I don't think people get this, his fingers were his handicap.
Yeah.
And by that I mean
– If you're getting blood all down your forearms and you're getting cut up everywhere, it's because you have a lack of wrist and hand strength.
Absolutely.
You are slipping on the stone. Your hands aren't strong enough to cut the bottom of that stone. So when you go to pick it up, your hands are slipping. That stone's slipping down your forearms and ripping it apart. Now, if you wear a ton of tacky on your palms, on your fingertips and palms, your hands will have more grip strength and you won't slip and slide. But that's right. Like, I mean, it's just like wearing straps on a deadlift. If they're going to let me do it, I'm going to do it. But you know, that's where I was going to say with, you know, the thick bar work, the stronger your wrists are and the stronger your hands are, the stronger you're going to pick that stone up off the ground. The thinner the bar is, the more it's going to dig in and beat up your tendons, your ligaments, and your muscles. The thinner the squat bar, the more it's going to hurt your shoulders, your back, your biceps, and your arms. The thinner the bench press bar is, the more it's going to hurt your wrist, your biceps, your elbows. The thinner the bar is, the more it's going to eat into your tendons. The thicker the bar is, the less it's going to eat into your tendons and ligaments.
Yep. And, you know, and the beauty of it all is that's why I did the other night with the dead stop, you know, on Wednesday and Sunday. It was the first time I ever tried it. And the main reason that drove me to it, and it just popped in my head, was, look, with the crap I've had with the shoulder, I have to fold my arms when I front squat, all right? So I was like, why do I want to take a one-inch bar? And I know when I put weight on it, it's going to start putting a lot of pressure above the bicep, you know, right into that shoulder. And I don't know what's going on with the back, you know, because you have ribs up under your trap and all
right.
that. But what is going to happen here? So I was like, okay, now I know the 2-inch is going to hurt probably a little bit because it is a wider bar. But I got to tell you, it was a lot more, if you want to say pleasing. I enjoyed it much more with the 2-inch bar. Now, well, you know, the goal is obviously I want to peel off a 500-pound front squat with an Apollon axle. I've never done that before, and I still got plenty of time between now and Iceland. I'm going to take my time and see what happens with it. And then, you know, and everybody's like, well, you don't want to lose the back squat. Well, it's very easy. You know what I'll do? I'll start training it at the three-quarter position. I'll throw the buffalo bar on my back, and away we go, you know, and I'll overload the spine if I want like that. But I'm getting tons of that. So I thought for me it was the best bang for the buck because I want to stay as healthy as I can between now and then. And if we get the opportunity to go away in December, I'll get back, maybe take a few days off and get started right in with the rings for the Dinnies and go to town with that. So
You just touched on something huge. It was about how much you can recover from.
Yeah.
You know, that, and as people get, you know, I want to say older, but actually yep. as we get smarter, we come to learn that anybody and everybody can go in the gym once and train really hard, but it takes a really smart person to know what to do to recover from those training sessions. Because it's not how hard you train, it's how fast you can recover.
Come back. Yeah.
Because if you just talked about, you've got to set the egg timer on Friday in the gym, so you're only going to train 30 minutes so you can recover for Sunday.
Yep.
So,
yep.
you know, if you can use the axles, the, you know, the thick bars, then you maybe you're going to get another 15, 20 minutes worth of hard training and still be able to recover for Sunday. So it's all about getting more done. It's more bang for the buck for, you know, for your goals.
And nobody wants to believe that, you know what I mean? They'll say, well, how long do you work out? I'll say, well, I worked out, you know, minus the warm-up, which was it could be anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes with all body weight and walking with heavy hands for distance, 30 minutes. And they're like, no way. I'm like, yeah way, because, like, I'll tell you what, probably Friday night.
How many hours are you
going
to spend, you know, wrestling with an Atlas stone?
I mean, not many, and I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to sit there with an Apollon axle and try to row with tires on till my hands fall off.
No.
I mean, come on, will you? And so you know what I'm probably going to do tomorrow night? Seriously, I think I'm probably going to go. Well, I'm almost 100% sure because when we got talking about this, I'll go out and do some Nautilus pullovers, very very light, and I will pull bent rows with the Apollon axle. The timer will be set. As soon as the bell rings, I don't care where I am. Everything gets packed up, and I go back inside, shower, and eat.
Well,
that's it.
I want to know what happens as soon as you're finished, man.
Okay.
Send me a message. Let me know what you did. I love hearing this stuff.
It's you know what the fun of this whole thing is, especially, like, you know, the way we're talking and shooting information and ideas back and forth. Anybody that hasn't recognized any of this stuff yet with these shows or just talking to one another – obviously, you know that I love to talk. Obviously, you do, too. Do you realize, you know, without even doing it, we're bouncing ideas off each other and coming up with things? I mean,
it's hard not to. Don't you want to learn? I know I do.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And you know what's something? It's like I have a voracious appetite for this stuff. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I've always been this way. But I've told people before, it takes something major to happen in your life sometimes to go after the things that you really, really love and take a chance on yourself. And that's why you and I and everybody else are sitting here today, because no matter what happens, I'm going to see this thing through if it kills me.
Right.
Literally.
But you've got something to do.
Something I love to do, a passion that I've never had. You know, weightlifting, learning, writing, giving information out. And you know something? Yeah, obviously I have products I'm selling. But do you realize the content that we put out in this show? I've got this from people all over. There's nothing like what you guys got out there. And I'm going to toot my horn here. A lot of people charge for this type of content, man.
Absolutely.
They charge for it. And we won't. We will never do that here. I don't care if I'm on my last penny. I will not do that, because I always think about me as a young kid sitting at the table saying, if I could talk to Kazmaier or Arnold or any of these guys, man, you know, if back in the day, if I could have talked to a guy like John Grimmick or a Paul Anderson or stuff like that, what would I ask them and what would I like them to tell everybody? Well, that's why I'm here today. It's the same kid that's sitting at the dining room table trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and I'm shooting in the dark all over. But you know something? You think about stuff through the years, people you train with. Sometimes you've had a bad go with good friends and brothers, and that all happened to me. I got news for you. If that never happened, I'd never be where I am today with
Absolutely.
Training.
Absolutely. Well, you know, let me ask you a question. Why would you want to sit down with Kaz and Grimmick and ask them questions?
Because these are guys, to me, that not only I look up to me, it's like they've weathered things, man. They've been through the shit. You know what I mean? It's like,
so you think whatever it is you're going through now, you know, whether it be in life or in training, they've been there, and obviously they've survived.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
they
understand. They've, you know, you're talking about kindred spirits that have been exactly where you are with the same questions, and they might have an answer. For sure they're going to have an answer. They might have a correct answer.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you this, Clint. I do this a lot. Maybe you've done it too, or you'd still do it. I might, before I go to bed, if I got a question about something, I might say, Paul, this is what I'm struggling through or I'm doing. If you could give me the answer, I'd appreciate it. You go to bed.
Absolutely.
I've had stuff happen where it'd wake me up in the middle of the night and I'd have to get up and write it down on a pad. I even have a recorder on my nightstand. If I can find it when I'm half out and I wake up, it doesn't sound too good when I play it back the next day.
I've
been known to record things too. Don't ever think that stuff you put out is not going to come back to you, whether you put it out good or bad. I've seen too many people in this field that get messed up mentally, and they end up going to people that I feel. So they're supposed to be experts, but I don't feel they are, and they get them to not do the things they're doing anymore and maybe go find another thing to do for a while. And anybody that's done that, they're messed up more than they were before they went to these experts, so to speak. I think it's real dangerous when people are trying to get you to maybe drift away from your sport or what you're doing eating-wise or sleeping-wise, because – maybe you're having some problems. There's nothing wrong maybe taking up. Maybe you want to draw a little bit or write or whatever. But the bottom line, and you know this more than anybody with what you're dealing with, is there any way, no matter what the experts told you, that you would never go out and lift another stone again?
No. No, it's never occurred to me.
No. And even if they told you, you'd probably look at them like, are you nuts?
I was sitting around the house the other night thinking about this. I've got a buddy of mine that's a power lifter, and he sent me a voice message the other night, and he said, we voice message back and forth, and he said, man, Clint, you messaged me from the gym the other day, and he said, you sounded actually legitimately excited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had just loaded stones and did super yoke and axle deadlift. And he said, you know, you haven't sounded like this for months. So whatever it is you're doing, you know, just keep doing it. And I thought, you know, that's something that a power lifter he's never going to understand. because, yep. you know, I'm sitting here thinking my heaviest stone is a 365. Now, if yep. I want to lift something heavier than that, I've got to get on an airplane.
Yep.
You know, when I lived in Kentucky, my, you know, I still had the same stones. 365 was my heaviest. I used to yep. drive to St. Louis on Saturdays, and they did – it was a four-hour drive, and they did their first set at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I left at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would be there by 7, eat breakfast, yep. and be at the gym by 7:30, warming up because we were starting at 8. And I would wow. do whatever they did all day just so I could lift their 404 stone at the very end of the day. So, awesome. I had to drive 4 hours each way to lift a 404 stone because that 404 stone lived in St. Louis. Now, they have, yep. they've got 440s, 460s, and 500s in Slovakia. So I used to fly to a buddy's house in Hungary, and then we would drive from Hungary to Slovakia to go yep. and lift heavy stones because that was the closest heavier stone to me here in yep. Cyprus. Now, you're laughing, but you're planning all these trips. Yep. to yeah. go lift a stone, you yep. know, just imagine if the only way a power lifter could deadlift 700 was that he had to get on an airplane and he had one shot to go do it. He didn't have it to train.
So.
He didn't have it to train with. It wasn't in his garage. It wasn't in his gym. If he wanted to deadlift 750, he had to get on a plane, fly there and go do it. It would have a whole new meaning to, you know, to him. If there was one bar loaded to yep. 750, or you had to build your own bar. You had to make yep. your own bar.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
well, you know what it is? Yeah. You know what it is?
There's something to be said for that, man. And the people that you meet, you haven't said a yep. single thing about you yourself going somewhere and lifting a stone. It's, I'm going to go with the guy, I'm going to stay here and meet the people and go do this. And it's all about the people you're doing it with. You know, it's you know, we talk about, people talk about this as a, you know, a solitary thing. And I think Henry Rollins always talks about weightlifting as a solitary thing. Yep. It's man, it's really not. It's all kindred minds.
It is.
I mean,
it is.
I look at you and I see the scars that you've got on your arms and, you know, how the, yep. you know, the Husafell stones dig into your wrists, you
yep.
know.
You've
got this line on your wrist and I guarantee you that I'm going to see it and I'm going to know exactly where you got it from, where nobody else who's never picked up yep. a Husafell stone off the ground is going to have a clue. And we're going to have a kindred spirit between the two yep. of us, an understanding. Yep.
Well, you know what it is, too? You know, I don't say much about it. You know, people ask, and I don't want to get into a lot of, because, you know, I don't want anybody saying, well, you said you're going to go and you can't go. Well, I'm not obliged to tell anybody what's going on, you know, cash flow or anything like that, and that's a lot of it. I've said that, but I don't want to get into that because we're going up. Currency will grow. But you know something? When I got hurt in 08, when I tore the arm, That was a very tough thing. I stayed with the team, you know, with Toyota, the whole deal.
Yep.
But that was very brutal on me mentally. I mean, because I couldn't believe it. I still, to this day, I don't believe it, you know. But it happened, and as the guys all said, well, you got a permanent scar on your arm. At the time, I wanted to, like, hit them over the head with a sledgehammer. But I get it. They all had, the majority of the guys there all had torn biceps. Yep. That was just the way it was. But here's the thing. I think anybody that is not afraid to take a chance on themselves, to get on Iceland Air, to go to a foreign country they've never been to go and just rearrange their whole life and go after something mammoth and monster like that. As my chiropractor said, may he rest in peace, who was a big mentor to me, who just encouraged me with everything all the time, and he probably would have been like, he probably would have been in my, you know, his career. He probably would have been more close to my father's age or a little younger. And I used to like to go to him because he was you meet people in your life that you can say things to and you don't ever have to worry they're going to be repeated.
Right.
You know, it's like private stuff, man, right. that, you know, like how I felt with all that stuff. Cause I'm not really good. I don't express myself to a lot of people because, you know, I think stuff like that I kind of keep close to the heart in some ways. But I remember when I came back, and it was kind of a down time for me in some ways because, you know, there were a lot of questions. and, you know, we're going to cut this and that, and you're going to be in the whole deal. And I remember him saying to me, he was from New Hampshire, and he still had the accent, and he said to me, "Eric, you should be very proud of what you've done. You just think how many people have ever lifted that and been successful with it." And he said, "You went over and did it. So what? You got hurt." He goes, "The thing was, you did something that most people would never attempt in their life."
Right.
And it made total sense after he said that, because it's very important, especially when you get injured like that and you're far away, that you take care of that mental end. Because I remember the first time I lifted a stone or did a barbell curl, I won't say I was apprehensive, but it's like anything, is the arm going to hold?
Right.
I mean, that's just human nature. So, yes, very proud of it. Yes, want to get back. Yes, want to hammer it. But I snickered when you said that about traveling, because that sounds just like something I would do. Because when you're talking like kindred spirits, it's like, you know, why are you going out tonight in the snow and going to walk with rocks with lights on?
Right.
Well, because I have to.
Right.
Well, you could wait till tomorrow.
No,
yeah, I said I could be dead
tomorrow. You can't.
Tomorrow.
You can't. Oh, you can't. No, that means you've got to sleep. How on earth are you going to sleep tonight knowing that you should have went out there and trained?
Absolutely.
I mean,
you're not getting that day back.
I can't. I can't do it. My wife, no matter what, she will tell me, just I'll just take care of everything. Just go to the gym and train. Because if I don't go to the gym and train, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be in a bad mental state, a bad attitude.
Yep.
I'm not going to be nice. But I can go to the gym, come back, and I'm done. I mean,
isn't that great?
I accomplished something. I don't know if it's great or if it's absolutely terrible. But
Well, I'll tell you this. When I've had the worst days of worst days with the business, where everything just seems like it's going bad or things that were supposed to be done aren't, and I'm like, you know something? And everybody says this, folks. You're like, what the hell am I doing this for? Why am I, you know, I'll go sit in a cubicle again and get my ass kicked. But then you say, no, you're not going to. You're going to see this through. When I go out and lift, whether it's in the afternoon, at night, or it could be midnight, I've done that before, it sets the world straight for me.
Yep.
Suddenly, I have purpose again. I have a good mental attitude, and I'm ready to take on anything that's coming my way. People don't realize how beneficial lifting is. It's not just about lifting weights. And people need to hear this, to clarify this. There's a, you know, you always hear the mental, spiritual, physical. Well, there's a lot to that. That's a connection all the way through. And I got news for you. You go in there and you're like out of your mind. You're super aggressive. And I've said this before, my whole backyard and driveway light up. And then obviously I've got motion lights all the way down through the house. So the house lights like it's daylight. And I'll tell you this, Cliff, nothing feels better at the end when I'm finished, and I'll be out there swigging my chocolate milk or something, sitting on the bench, and it's cold out, and there's nothing but me and the world revolving around me. It is the most creative time in my head, and it makes me feel, man, just connected to everything. And you know, you're like, you need to have the downtime. It's done. You've already gone in there. You've beaten everything up. You've been beaten up. But you know what? When it's done, man. You don't walk around like that all the time or you're going to be ruined.
Right.
So, you know, lifting to me has these dimensions mentally that no other sport does. I don't care what they say. If it came down to, hey, you know what? You got one movement. You're going to go live on an island the rest of your life. You know, I'd take my Husafell stone, my Husasteel. If I had to build shit out of wood, I'd find a way to do it, and I'd live the rest of my life forever like that.
Absolutely.
It's just the way it is. Well, look, we're getting close to the end. Anything that you want to say to summarize, you know, obviously give us, you know, the Facebook and all that stuff. Let me give my stuff out, and if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
I'm going to give you two quick secrets about stone lifting. I was thinking about
this
the other day. I didn't want to leave without giving you two stone secrets, and these are absolute pure keys to stone lifting. The first one, whenever you are beginning to lift stones, call your wife or your girlfriend. Let them know you're about to go lift stones. As sure as Shinola, as soon as you reach down to grab a stone, they're going to call you. And if you've got tacky anywhere on you, you can't grab your phone, you can't call them back. I used to have a Russian training partner that didn't speak English, and we trained together every Sunday, and the moment I began putting tacky on my hands to lift stones, my wife would call with an emergency. So he would grab the phone, answer it, hold it up to my ear so I could say, look, I'm doing stones,
Yeah.
So before you lift stones, call your wife, call your girlfriend, let them know you're going to do stones. The second thing, and maybe the most important thing, go to the toilet. Absolutely. Go. There is a muscle. There is a muscle in your body. I'm going to call it the poop muscle. I don't know exactly the technical term, but there is a muscle in your body. The moment you start lifting stones, you're ready to poop. So get it out before, because if you don't get it out before, it's coming out when you lift stones. If you're having problems going to the toilet, maybe going and lifting stones is the answer. It will get you ready. So the two things you need to do for a beginner, if you want to load stones, you're laughing, but call your wife and go to the bathroom. That's the two most important things you can do to get ready to lift heavy stones.
That makes sense because, I mean, no one's took a crap out my yard as far as I know, but you'll see the guys go out and have to, take a leak. And
it's hard to do. It
really is. And, you know, it's funny as hell when you say that because – I always make sure I go before I go out, but after you get going and you're pouring water down there, if you're not sweating a lot of it out, you're going to have to take a leak again. You know what I mean? And when you got some of that gear on, like with the tighter pants, obviously, and you've got stuff on your knees, man, that stuff is a pain in the ass to have to peel down to, take a leak. So it's
once
like,
you peel that down, it gets cold, and then you got to roll it sweaty back up.
Yep.
It's the worst feeling in the world. So just go pee beforehand.
Oh, I've had guys that I've trained with where we squat and stuff. They've shit their pants.
It happens, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting a ton of load on you too. I mean, look at when we've pulled stuff, big stuff. You don't have time to run and take a leak. Everybody pisses their pants too. That's the way it is. All right, what else you got, boss?
Yeah, those are the two main things I wanted to cover. The two keys to lifting heavy stones. Go to the bathroom and call your wife.
Call your wife.
You might want to call her while you're in the bathroom. I don't know.
absolutely. Why don't you give us all the – I know they can get a hold of you and just type in Clint Darden, but anything else? I know we're out on Facebook. What else you got? Instagram and all that too?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. Everything is Instagram, Twitter, the House of Biceps on Facebook. I put a lot of stuff at the House of Biceps on Facebook, a lot of old classic strongman videos. Short clips of what I do during the week, short clips of what everybody else I think is awesome. You can come in there and check out some of the crazy stuff I do. You can go to YouTube, Clint Darden, and find me there. Elite FTS, I put some information over on Elite FTS that I don't put anywhere else. Under the coaching log, they did move me from an athlete to a coach. They thought I put out more informational stuff than the athletes did. So they moved me over there. But just give me a yell. If you're listening to this show, just send me a message somewhere and say, hey, I loved it. Hey, I hated it. Let me know you're listening.
And don't forget this, Steve Slater. Clint Darden's coming for you, man.
No, he's coming in for me.
Well, he's going to come in for you. But you put the challenge out. And like I said, I'll send him a note. What else was I going to say? If you got any good I can always go out to your YouTube channel, but if you got anything you want me to put up, I'll put up for you, too.
Appreciate it, man.
Okay, you can Facebook me and send me any links you want.
Will do.
You all set?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111, StrongerGrip.com. They've been making handcrafted strength gear for 10 years. Stronger Grip has made high-quality strength gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and the trophies you'll see on ESPN. Grip gear has been featured in Men's Health magazine. Stronger Grip has made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hard-training, strength-seeking people like you. So go out to StrongerGrip.com. Jason Fulner, don't forget, PlanAYearOfWorkouts.com. You can get the 8x6 book. It's basically a training log. You can also go out to Amazon Prime, get it for $5, no shipping. Jason's a great guy, and we appreciate his sponsorship. Also, Steven Santangelo, Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Contact him at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook at STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Don't forget about Hearts Collision here. This is for New York State residents. It's 518-477-7937. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Also, Weight Loss Made Easy, 2 ebooks. Just download them. They're free. You won't get spammed. Like I said, you know, commit, take action. Also, FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Strength times power is all recorded in HD. I narrate every movement. And Dennis, who used the majority of these movements, who lost 43 pounds, does all the demonstration. It's incredible, and it's beautiful. It's in the winter with the brightest blue day you've ever, blue sky day I've ever seen. The Winner's Circle are 12 modules, me vocally speaking from my beginnings in between where we are. You know, it's got everything from power rack, the real type of bicep training, iron boots, sandbags, all the philosophy, all the good things. It's all there. They are life-changing, man, if you want to invest in yourself. And I stand behind all this stuff. Everything I put out, I've done. Everything. There's no armchair BS here. It's all there. Don't forget about sponsorship. Fiorella Barbell Co., motivationandmuscle.com. $100 this month. I don't care. You sign up on the last day. It still gets honored. 5 to 15 shows a day or a week. Like I said, $30 goes to MDA, all in my brother's memory. And we're going to be here for at least 25 years, and we are going to be millions on top of millions strong listener-wise. Come join my family. You're all welcome into my home. We're going to do some magnificent stuff here. You hear the stuff Clint and I talked about today? There's nobody talking like that. I don't care who tells you that. We've got the stuff. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, motivationandmuscle.com, iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten for every review. I thank you. If you'd like a particular show for Clint and I to do, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Don't forget this stuff, too. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them a little word of advice or encouragement. Very important. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or hello. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to go out and lift some iron, bend it up, just crush it, curl it, press it, whatever you're going to do, and take stones and turn them into dust. As the Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination on both sides. We are domination. We are millions strong, and we are coming for you, man. Like I said, we don't clear cut. We don't follow the path. We clear cut it. And as I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. I thank Russell for that. That was one of the kindest compliments I've ever got. We will say that until the day we sign off. Clint, thank you for being on the show again. Another classic episode.
Appreciate it, Eric. Can't wait to come back.
Oh, we'll have you on next month. Clint's going to be on with us every month until he gets sick of me. So so hopefully he wants to hang around for a few years with us. And as I said, be a steward of strength and don't stand on the side of the road. It's so important. So for Clint Darden, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for everything. Like I said, Clint will be on with us next month. Just make something big happen. Go out and do something in the world. Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Tell a friend.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.